time we will sing the song of invitation to invite someone to who needs to respond to the gospel call, that they will fall out with sin, that they will no longer live a life that is servitude to the sins and desires that the flesh offers. They'll decide to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the new year coming upon us this evening in a lesson that is entitled Setting Spiritual Goals for the New Year. We know 2012 is about to end, and this is the last Sunday evening service that we have. And I am privileged to stand before you this evening. It is my honor and privilege as a gospel preacher to preach about the things that be of the kingdom of God. So we're going to talk about the setting spiritual goals for the new year. In Time Magazine, their top five resolutions for 2013. And number one was to lose weight. I looked this up on the internet before I came to the service tonight. But to lose weight was number one, and it usually is. Then it is number two, to get more organized. Number three, to spend less and save more. And number four was to hit the gym and get fit. And another last one was to quit smoking for those who decide to do that. And all of these are good, and all of these are goals that people have. These are resolutions that they're trying to better themselves in some ways doing these things. But these are temporary things. Tonight we're going to talk about the spiritual goals that God has in His kingdom for us to follow today. I believe that the spiritual goals far outweigh any temporal goal that we could see in this life, though. I will look at some Bible examples of goals that people had, and they wanted to reach these goals. We think about Israel in the Old Testament, how they were going to the Promised Land. It was when they left, we all know this, when they left, they were going toward the Promised Land. And I envision people that were doing that were leaving that great multitude of people coming out of Egypt, leaving Pharaoh's Egypt, how that they had great hope there. They wanted to go to the Promised Land. And I believe they had a great desire to go to the Promised Land. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, beginning, says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat? Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And we know what happened there. There were times of temptation that came to them that tested their desire to go to the Promised Land. And there was times when they wanted to go back to Egypt, which was the wrong thing to do. God said, "You don't go back to Egypt." And yet this was all what God wanted, for them to go to the Promised Land. And even when they got up to the very threshold, the door of the Promised Land at Kadesh Barnea, that they sent the 10 spies in, and 8 of them, or the 12 spies rather, and 10 of them gave an evil report, but Joshua and Caleb gave them the good report. And so it was that only 2 of the spies had faith, and they could do what God said they could do and overtake the enemies there in the Promised Land and take over and leave the Canaanites homeless. But yet, because of unbelief, they could not enter into that Promised Land. We've got to believe. Our desires, have faith in God to do what God wants us to do as far as achieving any goal. You've got to be specific. You've got to know what you want and go for it with all of your might. Go with it for all the life that's within us to reach that Promised Land that God has for us. Another goal we can look at is rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. This was another goal that the Israelites, they had a strong desire it was, that they wanted to rebuild the walls. Why were they tore down? Because the Israelites were invaded by an army because of their leaving God and not being faithful to Him because of the apostasy. They were invaded and the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed. But now, under Nehemiah, they were able to rebuild the walls. In Nehemiah 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together under the half thereof. Now get this last part. For the people had a mind to work. That's what happens when people put their minds to do something, when there is a goal that we're trying and striving for. And I believe personally we need to have a mind to have spiritual goals, to set aside spiritual goals that we have a mind to do and perform, that we can better serve God, and the cause of Christ will be greatly profited by those who do so. And our goal, I believe every child of God here tonight needs to have this goal of pleasing God. I believe it's all of us need to have that goal. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, the New King James Bible says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." And this is speaking about what we do in our lives, in our worship, every part of our life. We've got to make it our aim or our goal to be pleasing to God. And what is the biggest goal we have? The Christian's main goal is to go to heaven one day, to be faithful to God, and to do like what Paul says in Philippians 3:14. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What was Paul doing here? He was pressing. He was striving to go to the goal. That word mark means "I press toward the goal," as the New King James Bible has that translated. And so all of us need to have that same attitude that Paul had. When it comes to heaven, we know what we want. We want to be there where Christ is, where God is, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels of heaven. And what will it take to get there? It will take us giving our lives to the service of God. Doing like we said in the last verse about how that we make it our aim to please God. That's the attitude that we have to have in reaching that goal of heaven. And I believe all goals we're going to talk about tonight revolve around the goal of going to heaven. Because if we miss heaven, all the other goals we'll talk about tonight don't mean anything if we miss heaven. And so we're going to look at tonight some Bible examples of goals. And I want to challenge your thinking tonight about how you do these things. I want you to examine yourself and see how it is that you study the Bible, as we're going to talk about the first goal you might have. Is that of studying the Bible, studying God's Word, the Scriptures. What goals should we have? We know the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 to 16. We'll read what I believe is the most comprehensive passage of Scripture concerning how we should study the Bible. Here Paul tells young Timothy, says this, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." He told Timothy what to do. He told him, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. Listen to the exhortations. Go and give yourself attention to doctrine. He told him not to neglect the gift that was within him. But yet, I know we understand we're not in the age of miracles and miraculous ages where we can have the gifts of what Timothy had there, the prophecy. But yet we can neglect to do what is written for us here. And he says in verse 15, meditate. I believe children of God need sometimes do more meditation. Think about the Scriptures and remind ourselves every day what the Word of God says. And take a verse of Scripture and mull it around in our minds and really say, well, what does this verse really mean? You know, the more you think about a verse, the more clear I believe the meaning of what it will be to us, especially if it's a hard-to-understand passage, something we're having difficult understanding. Meditation is something that we fill our minds, be filled with the Spirit is what the Bible tells us. And so we can be filled with the Spirit, God's Word, and meditate upon these things and give ourselves wholly to them. That's part of what Bible study is all about. And he tells us even the outcome of this is that when we do this, we're going to save ourselves, but also others that will hear us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Know that our studying the Bible is not meaningless, that there's profit to it, that there has some meaning to it. That when we study, we're not studying just for ourselves to save ourselves, but anyone we come in contact with. We can share the gospel with them and know that when they hear the message, they can understand and obey it because we're helping them to understand and obey it because we have took the time to study God's Word like we should. And I said all that to say this. What about some specific goals concerning Bible study? You know, sometimes we need to write these things down and make them specific. And I'm talking about personal goals that you might have that you, you know, like you say, these are things that you can do to better yourself in your Bible studies. What about, like some have done, is read through the whole Bible. And sometimes there's these courses where these verses that you can, there's plannings where you can go out and you in a whole year's time, start with so many chapters or verses, and you can read through the whole Bible in a given amount of time. Sometimes it may be a year. Maybe you don't want to wait a whole year to read through the Bible. Maybe 6 months or 1 month if you really are zealous and dedicated about reading through the Scriptures. These are goals that you make for yourself, though. If you want to better yourself in 2013. Or reading the Bible an hour a day. Or maybe if you have more time than that, 2 hours or 3 hours. But these are goals that you make for yourself because you want to grow in the Christian life. And so maybe you don't have an hour. Say, well, I have just 30 minutes or just 15 minutes a day. You know, our zeal is not compared in the amount of time we spend. I believe it's consistent. Our zeal is shown also when we consistently have a routine where we will, maybe for 15 minutes in the morning, and maybe 15 minutes at night, read the Scriptures. That will help us to grow and be what we need to be in Christ. Or it might be that you say, well, I want to sit down and I'm a new convert and I don't know so much like some of these other brethren know. And I want to know these Bible topics about the Lord's Supper and maybe get more clearer meaning of some of the things that's talked about. Maybe baptism or maybe the work of the church and such. Study one Bible topic a month. Maybe it may take longer than a month, several months, or maybe even a year on some of the harder things. But this is what we're talking about. These are goals you can make for yourself for the coming year. Or maybe studying one Bible workbook every 3 months. And I just put that figure as some are faster or slower at going through these workbooks. You know, as you personally do it, you can maybe be able to do it faster than a classroom setting could. And I know that's the case a lot of times. So you can go through a workbook maybe a month or 2 months or 3 months, depending on how complicated and how long that is. And so these are specific goals we might have. Another goal we might have is reaching the lost. And what I mean by this is by being evangelistic, we can reach the lost. You know, we're given that mission, aren't we? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That is the great commission given by our Lord. And it's for all of us to take part in that, not just the preachers or the elders or the deacons or the Bible teachers, but for every Christian is to be evangelistic. Take the gospel wherever we can, to the workplace, to our friends and neighbors, to our family, if they need to hear the message of the truth. What are some goals you might have in reaching the lost? I know some have done this. Some have told, I've heard in some sermons by our brethren, that there's goals that people have had down through the ages. Some might say, well, I want to invite 5 people to come to services every week or in a week's time. That might be a good goal, wouldn't it? One that we could achieve. One that's realistic. Or you might say, well, you might want to increase that number. Maybe 7 people or 10 people in a week's time. It's up to you what kind of goal that you want to set. And so we want to be able to start inviting people. And that really makes us conscious that we need to invite people to come to services. Or to say, well, you know, I want to invite everybody that lives on my street. You ever thought about your neighbors? The ones that's right next door to us? the ones that live on the other side or the other? What about inviting everybody on the street? Just go door knocking and say, you know, I want to invite you. I've not really got down to sit down and talk to you, but I want to invite you. At the West Boonville Church of Christ, we're having Wednesday night Bible study. We're having Sunday morning service. We'd like for you to come. Sometimes people are waiting for an invitation from us. And that may be the case, that they accept your invitation. But I'll tell you this, going back to that first point. What if we invite five people and one person shows up? Isn't it worth it for at least just one person? You know, you may feel like you're wasting your time, but say, well, I invited five people, or I invited 10 people. What if two show up? And so forth. You know, you see what I'm going with this? Every soul is precious. God wants us to make every effort possible to reach the lost. And it takes all of us in the church for the church to grow like it should. Or some might say, well, I want to knock on 10 doors a month. And some people say today that, well, door knocking is a thing of the past. It doesn't work today. But I'm a believer that we should not get rid of things that were tried and true in the past. That we still can knock on people's doors and say, you know, I want to invite you to come. There were times when we had, back in Kentucky, we had vacation Bible schools and gospel meetings. We'd go out and knock on people's doors. And we'd show film strips, the Jewel Miller film strips. And people were converted by those. I'm still a big believer in doing those kind of things. And my goal for this year is to do those things here. And we can grow as a church as we should do. And all of us need to have the attitude that, well, we want to grow and not get complacent. We'd say, well, we've got enough people here at church. We might have to build a bigger auditorium if we have too many more people come. But I don't think that's the way we should look at it. Or have one home Bible study a month with someone. I know all of us work. A lot of us work and all of us have schedules and we're busy during the day. But maybe on the days we're off, Saturdays or such, we could have maybe one time a month a home Bible study where we go to someone's house who has accepted our invitation to study the Bible with them. I know this also works because people are converted when we take that kind of interest and go to where they're at instead of thinking, well, if they want to obey the gospel, they'll come to the doors of the church. But we should go to their houses where they are if we want them to be saved. Another spiritual goal we might have, and this is looking back in reflection of our lives and self-examination again. And the question is, how do we resist temptation? We might want to be able to resist temptation to do sinful things better than we have in the past. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, here the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. These are wonderful words God gives us. A promise is if you will look for that way of escape, if you will go the way that God's prepared for you, there are no temptations that will overtake you that you cannot find a way to escape. But do we take that door, that opportunity to escape temptations? And our specific goals may be this. And look how I've done in the past in 2012. And I look at myself and I say, you know, I could have done better at certain times and I wished I had done better. We all could say that because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can maybe strive to do a little better. Resist with greater determination because heaven, the place we want to go, is far outweighing what pleasures this earth has to offer us. And put God first and not self. I say that to myself as others here tonight, that we need to put God first and not self. But then also, what about attending services of the church? That might be a spiritual goal we need to maybe work better on if we have not in the past. And I know sometimes people, because of sickness and health or job-related, they're not able to be here. And then God, Lord knows our opportunities. He knows the way things are in our lives. I believe He understands these things. But in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, We understand the importance of being here when we can be here. And I do believe this. When we can be here and we're not here, the Bible would say that's sin, that we're forsaking the assembly. Here in Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What day is approaching? The judgment day. We've got to get ready for that day. You know what gets us ready more than anything else? Is being right here. Because that's where preparations take place. Where we learn what it takes to prepare for the judgment day. When we forsake the assembly, we know we should. Like what James says in James chapter 4. "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Now let's look at some specific goals concerning attendance. One goal, if we've not done this in the past, if we maybe need to improve and say, you know, I need to be here every time I can, whenever the doors of the church are open. And I know a lot of you, most of you here tonight, I would say all of us are here whenever the doors of the church are open. But I do say this, there are some on Sunday morning that are not like this. They need to attend all the services of the church. And I don't want to put a heat on people who don't need heat. But you know, sometimes people come in the morning but don't come any other time than just Sunday morning only. We need to attend all the services of the church. Support the gospel all the time. The gospel needs being supported all the time. So we need to be there whenever we can to support the gospel. And also another goal we might have is to be early for services. There's times when people, because of certain situations, are hindered in being on time or early like they should be. But then there are times when we could be there early, but we wait and wait till the last minute. And say, well, you know, I'll wait till I don't have to just walk in the door right when they're getting ready for services. That may be well and good in some cases. Let's try to be early. Show our interest and our zeal and set a good example for others. They may want to be here early for times of services. We have gospel meetings. And I know gospel meetings usually either last a week's time or just a weekend meeting. Why not the next gospel meeting make it a goal to attend every night of the gospel meeting? I know sometimes that's hard because of different reasons. But if we can, let's make it a goal to be here every night. Whether it's gospel meeting or vacation Bible school. Because I'll tell you this, the devil will tempt you every way he can and say, you know, why not just stay home tonight? It's just a gospel meeting. Or it's just a singing night. Those things are said, whispered in our ears sometimes when the devil tries to get us to stay home from doing what we can. Then another spiritual goal we might have is this. For some of us who are getting toward that age, maybe becoming an elder someday. That may be a long-term goal we look toward. Or for some, it may be just a short-term goal that they need to make some effort toward to meet the qualifications. I know we have elders here now. And some say, well, why not? Why worry about that? Because we have elders now. But you know, I know also this, that time will take these elders away from us. That we need to also have others who will rise up and say, I want to help the church in this area. And that is something we all need to be thinking about, is that elders are something we always have to keep having. The church is to be successful and the government of the church should be what it needs to be. We all need to be thinking about, well, maybe I want to become an elder one day to meet the qualifications. You know, there are qualifications that 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7 talks about. As far as the elders are concerned, you know, we first of all have to have a desire to be an elder. Or some might say has to be a man, the husband of one wife, blameless, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy. These are some of the things we may say, well, I need to make it my goal to meet these qualifications that the Bible has for us. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have one more elder and another elder to take and join the ranks of the elders and to see that something that would help us as a church. We are truly blessed with elders that we have. But we should also be mindful of the future of the church. because we always will need these to have the church to be what it needs to be. Or it may be that you may want to become a deacon. You know, our goal may be to meet the qualifications of being a deacon or the servant of the church. You know, deacons have to be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience, prove blameless the husband of one wife, ruling their house as well. All of that describes the qualifications. And like I said about the elders, we need men maybe are young now, but need to have this in the radar in the future. They may become the elders or the deacons of this church one day. Or you might want to become a Bible teacher. That might be a goal that some have expressed. Even here, some of the young men say, well, I want maybe to preach or to teach. You know, the Lord's church needs teachers. We need those who will stand up and will have the Bible knowledge to be able to proclaim God's Word in a teaching capacity. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, Acts 13, verse 1, he talks about having teachers. The last part of verse 11, pastors and teachers, the elders and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We know it's a valuable need that the Lord's church would have teachers. And they had, in Acts 13, the Bible says, and there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And so there were teachers. It's a position that needs to be filled from time to time. And we need people, Bible class teachers, Sunday school teachers, who will rise up to the occasion and say, you know, I aspire to do this. I've made it my goal to do this. And also maybe some to become a preacher. You know, this is one of the things that was my goal. And I say I've not made it to where the level I'd like to be. I'll tell you right now, I want to improve in this area as a preacher and especially as a teacher. I want to better myself in trying to do a better job and constantly, always trying to refine and do better than what have in the past. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5 talks about this. And how we're to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's important because the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap on themselves teachers having itching ears and turn aside their ears from the truth. We know we've got to have preachers who will stand up, proclaim the God's news as it should be. No, this lesson tonight's been one about goals that we can have. But what will help us? I will tell you right now, you have faith and perseverance, and you have that kind that says, I want to complete this goal, and you give yourself a time frame. I want to do it by the time I'm 30. I had that goal at one time, to be a full-time minister by the time I was 30 years old. It took me till I was 42 to get there, but that was on my goal because of certain reasons. We need to have that same kind of attitude of faith and perseverance. Just like the Israelites. The reason why they failed, because they didn't have a trust in God, a complete faith in God like they should have. Hebrews 3 tells us they could not enter in because of unbelief. They failed the goal because they didn't believe. We've got to have faith more than anything else that we can do what we need to get done. If you're here and you're not a child of God this evening, your goal right now is to become a child of God, because right now you're in sin and you need to get out of sin. Jesus is the way. By faith, repentance of your sins, confession of your faith, and baptism into Christ for the remission of your sins. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us. Just like what Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe that enough to make that great confession and put on Christ? If you desire to do that this evening, why don't you come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.